Jake Rule Matters. Before we get started, I want to thank our segment sponsor, and that's Tim English Realty. And they're located at 154 Southwest Oak Street in Dallas, Oregon, and not to be confused with the other Dallas we're going to be talking about here shortly. You can get a hold of Tim at 503-998-3234 or timothyenglish.kw.com. Tim is part of Keller Williams. Tim is a friend of mine. Tim has been in real estate for years, served in the military himself at one time, and he's got a daughter that is going to be promoted in Colorado Springs this week, and Tim is heading out there. So don't call him this week. He's got great stuff going on. This year has gone, I don't know, to my guests from July 3rd, Mark Waddell, retired naval SEAL, and Jeff Staubach, son of Roger and Marianne Staubach from the Dallas Cowboys and all of that. I don't know, you guys, the older I get, does time just go faster or do I need to get a different watch to slow it down? Mark, what do you think?
Oh, it moves a lot faster. You know, I mean, when we were kids, you know, when we were in summer break, you know, it seemed like forever, you know, when we were, you know, 8, 9 years old, we thought summer lasted forever. But when you've gone from 8, you know, to 65, you've lived so much more life. Life accelerates because you've lived so much more. It moves faster. It's some kind of a freaky phenomenon. I don't know the math on it.
No, I don't either. And Jeff, of course, you know, you've got your children are at that border of out of college and a little bit in. I mean, you look at your calendar and you're just, I don't know, is your head spinning a little bit trying to keep everything together?
Well, I will officially be an empty nester here in a couple months.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it. I mean, somebody was talking about the Hall of Fame today, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I pulled up a picture of my dad and his Hall of Fame class, and he was 43 years old. I'm 51. I can't believe it. It's just, it's crazy. You know, when you have kids, they always say the days are long, but the years are fast. And now it's like everything just moves. You blink and like you said, we're going to be halfway through the year tomorrow.
It's so crazy. Mark, I want you to talk about this. We're in a season of commemoration. You know, we got 9/11 25 year commemoration coming up here in September, a couple months. We're just celebrating our 250th, but you've got one I want you to talk about, and I want you to talk about it in its entirety because I can't hold a candle to what you can say on this, Mark. Go ahead.
Well, we're in the time of remembrance for one of our SEAL missions in the mountains of Afghanistan called Operation Red Wings. Most people would remember that because of the book that came out from Marcus Luttrell, who was the lone survivor. And in fact, that was the name of the book, Lone Survivor, where Marcus was the only one who survived the reconnaissance element that we had in the mountains. They're up there looking in on some really bad folks. And it was one of those things where things went really wrong. And without going into the minutiae and the detail of that, Marcus found himself in a position to where his reconnaissance teammates were all killed in action, and he was the only survivor, and he had to do everything he could through wounds and injuries to escape to, you know, we call it a tactical withdrawal. We never surrender, but we'll do a tactical withdrawal to re-equip, reconstitute, and fight another day. There was nothing he could do for his dead teammates except for survive and be able to tell what happened, and then to be able to use that information to take it back to the enemy. So thank God Marcus survived that day. He is thriving in Texas with his wife and his children. And it's the thing that books should be made of. And he's gone through some really challenging recovery therapies, which we could do another show on, you know, about, you know, the effects of various hallucinogenics like psilocybin, ibogaine, and others to help people to basically push control alt delete and to face some things that inside of ourselves without a hallucinogenic type protocol that we could never even dig up or face without these kinds of very interesting and natural medications. So there's a lot of national momentum on that right now to bring that into combat and therapies and people in general with who have suffered intense trauma, because you know, PTSD is nothing more than a response to abnormal threat to abnormal stress, and so this is a normal response to abnormal stress, and so it's how to help people to overcome these stuck points that we can have as a result of going through such trauma.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. Jeff, to you, the Staubachs, your dad being naval grad and served, you guys also partner in with this as well, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah, we've been involved. And so the biggest thing my dad did was started it. He had a nonprofit. He kind of retired. We joke with people that he retired from public life a few years ago, and he's not speaking or doing, you know, doing that kind of stuff. But he had a nonprofit for almost 10 years called Allies in Service, and their singular focus was finding jobs for veterans and veterans' family. I was involved with Allies in Service, as was Mark. My most recent commitment is to the Navy SEAL Foundation, and I'm on the host committee here for the Dallas dinner, and it's just they actually do wonders for the SEAL community.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, and you know your family and to Mark as well, the generosity. Well, it's part of your Catholic faith. I know that's so important to your folks. Jeff, you want to talk about that a little bit? Because I come from a Catholic town here in Oregon, Mount Angel, Oregon, east of here, is strongly by the order of the Benedictines, and they've got an abbey, St. Mary's Church. Talk a little bit about the role that has been for your dad and your mom, and if you're comfortable to yourself and your family.
Yeah. So I did 12 years of Catholic schools, as did my parents and my sisters.
Yeah.
One of my older sisters did, she went to Catholic University. So she did 16 years and Catholic University Law School. So she did 19 years of Catholic schools. I didn't go that far. I think the simplest answer I can give about how the faith impacts us is came from Cardinal Kevin Farrell. And so Cardinal Farrell was our bishop here in town when the Ebola outbreak happened. And I guess it wasn't an outbreak, but when we had the Ebola scare, and there was a family that was exposed to the man who brought Ebola into Dallas, and they couldn't find a place to live. And so Cardinal Farrell offered them up a Catholic-owned facility to find respite. And they asked Cardinal Farrell, they said, why are you doing this? They're not Catholic. And his answer was, we help people because we're Catholic, not because they're Catholic. And so that to me, I'll never forget it, reading that when he said that. And that's kind of the thing. It's like, hey, I don't care where you worked. I'm gonna treat you just the same.
Fantastic. We talked a little bit, not specifically about awards. And to you, Jeff, I want to go in the last couple of minutes we have with this segment, and we can carry on with this discussion, mind you. Your father received the Congressional Medal of Honor in, I believe, the first Trump administration.
Medal of Freedom,
I'm sorry. Yeah. And he was in quite the crowd. Elvis Presley and Babe Ruth. Did I get that right? And
that's right.
Also, former Viking.
They couldn't make it to the ceremony.
No, though. We know that. Yeah, posthumously. But Alan Page was there from the Vikings. And of course,
that's right.
We can talk about the 50th anniversary here in a little while from the Hail Mary. But what for you, as you know, to see your dad get, I mean, he's got so many awards in football and so forth, to see this one, what did that mean to you and your family to have your father receive that award in that White House ceremony, Jeff. Talk about that for a minute, if you would.
Yeah, we were fortunate because several of the awardees were received posthumously.
Yeah,
and so there were plenty of tickets. So our entire family got to go. The 15 grandkids, everybody.
Yeah,
and we were able to sit in there and watch it. I could not have been more proud. He deserves it. He earned it. The funny anecdote about it, though, is it hangs from the arm of the Heisman Trophy in his office. And so whenever I'm giving somebody a tour of the house, which Mark's done before and seen the trophy room and the awards and everything, that's what I always tell people. I said, there's only one of those, right? There's only one Medal of Freedom that hangs from a Heisman Trophy. And it's that one. It could not have been more meaningful. We were there in the reception hanging out and, you know, there's Justice Kavanaugh, there's Justice Alito. They're all standing around talking and my son comes up to me and he goes, Dad, when are we going to leave? And I said, Joe, when they throw us out of this White House, like when they physically remove me from the White House is when I'm leaving for two reasons. One, I'm hanging out with, you know, Amy Klobuchar and Alan Page and all these other people there. I said, but they also had Yingling beer and we didn't have Yingling in Texas yet. So it was a treat.
Are you talking beer, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got to come out where we're at, man. We've got all of it. Hey, talking with Jeff Staubach and Mark Waddell, Rule Matters, and we're going to keep going with this conversation, having way too much fun. Be right back. Jake, Rule Matters, well into July, and it's a great time to be in Oregon at this time of the year. And I always have to say at least once or a month or so, hey, the tractors that are on the road are out harvesting the crops. They're not blocking or slowing down your drive to wherever you got to go on purpose. Have a little benevolence because the old phrase goes in agriculture, you guys, if you eat, you're involved in agriculture. I think that phrase is almost as prevalent as the Hail Mary that your dad used against the Vikings, Jeff, I tell you. Anyhow, great to have Mark Waddell and Jeff Staubach on. Jeff, to you, you know, you've got your son, Joe, and he walked on at TCU, if I understand correctly. But way in front of that, as a young kid, he had to have somebody outside of the family explain the Roger Staubach quarterbacking legacy to him. Did I get that right? I read an interview with him. And so how is your and Jenny's approach to raising the kids so that they had a type of perspective? Maybe I'll just put it to you that way.
Yeah. I mean, we think of us as just normal people. You know, when you're young, you don't have access to, you know, the internet, ESPN and everything. And so, the kids knew because, you know, people would ask him for his autograph and for selfies when you're at, you know, at North Park at the mall. But they didn't really understand how good he was until they filmed A Football Life. And so NFL Films has a great show called A Football Life, and they're all of them are great about everybody. And when they filmed it, they interviewed the kid, his dad's kids, and then, you know, had videos of the grandkids and everything. And when it aired, we were watching it and they were showing highlights. And I'll never forget, Joe looked at me and he goes, Dad, Papa was fast.
Yeah, he was.
They had never seen, because again, it was 50 years ago almost that they hadn't seen him in action and realized that, you know, how good he was. Obviously he could, you know, sling the ball around in the yard. But they didn't realize that, you know, he was that dominant.
To you, Jeff, going back to your high school time there at the preparatory at the Jesuit College Prep, did you play football there, Jeff, or is it just baseball for you? I
was more of a baseball player. I only played 1 year. I played my senior year. I got cut from the basketball team my junior year. And so I didn't have anything to do in the fall. the next year. And so, and baseball at that time was not year round. It was becoming year round. I played fall baseball one time and I hated it. I was like, why am I playing baseball right now? Like I just played from January to August. And so now it's your requirement. If you're going to play at any type of high level, even high level high school, you're playing year round in tournaments and fall ball. So, I just decided, what the heck, I'll play football my senior year. And that was it. And when I decided not to play, when I got to high school, cause I had played growing up third grade through eighth grade, everyone wondered, oh, did his dad pressure him too hard or this or that? And it was nothing other than I wanted to play basketball and baseball.
And you're from a family where your folks wanted you to whatever you picked, and you do that with your kids and so forth. And I do it with mine. Hey, find something and do it well. Do it to the best of your ability.
That's right.
Correct? Mark, to you too.
That's it.
So, Jeff, I want to...
Absolutely.
What's that?
Hey, go ahead. Yeah. I was just in violent agreement.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I want you on my good side, Mark. Jeff, to you, I take this with a grain of salt and I'll just put it out to you. There was a story I read where you were playing, whether it was baseball or maybe your senior year of football, and the public address announcer said, hey, the Staubach family is attending the game, and Roger has respectfully requested that, can I please watch the game? And like anybody else, any other mom or dad, and hold autographs till after the game. I'll stick around and sign autographs. Is there any truth to that story, Jeff? I thought I'd just ask you this. Is that true?
Yeah. So we were playing my senior year. We were playing against Midland Lee High School, and they were like sixth in the country, in the state. We got a lead on them. And then they wiped us up, but, they announced him at the game, and, they weren't really supposed to do that, because when you get into the rural parts of Texas, he's a pretty big deal. If he's in Walmart in Marble Falls, Texas, and I've been there with him, people make a pretty big deal. Or if you go into Bucky's, which I was just in Bucky's with him on last Wednesday.
Love Bucky's.
In Temple, Texas. People are very surprised to see him in Walmart or Bucky's. And so when you're in Midland, Texas, they're pretty big Cowboy fans. And so I don't know how many autographs he had to sign after that, but I've never seen him turn down an autograph or a selfie or anything. He's very accommodating of people. He's not as out and about, you know, traveling like he used to, but I remember one time somebody woke him up on an airplane for an autograph, and he thought to himself, where was I going to go?
You got no choice.
You just wait till the plane lands. You know, it had been fine. But, showing up, this is a true story, you know, somebody showing up with a football at Christmas Eve dinner at Nick and Sam's in Dallas, happened. I was at Love Field with him one time, and somebody had a jersey for him to sign. And my business partner at the time was with me, and he's like, where did he get the jersey?
Right.
And I thought the same. I was like, how did this guy know, you know? And so, but he's always been very accommodating, with it.
Yeah. You know, I guess to you, growing up with that, you know, you kind of had to share your dad, but it seems, and by the way, I am a huge fan of A Football Life. I've watched every single one of them. And I even showed my daughter, I go, this, you know, because I have your dad's autograph picture, speaking of, hanging in my den. And I said, look at him move. And that's anybody that wants to, that loves football, they need to watch A Football Life. It covers anybody, a lot of the eras, right? A lot of Cowboys are on that. Tom Landry, Emmitt Smith, you can go down the list. But to you, you know, Jeff, and, you know, your sisters, did it ever kind of like, oh my gosh, please, people, how was that for you guys growing up?
You know, we just followed his lead. I think it was more impactful on mom than dad, just because she really had to share him. I can remember times where, you know, he's being surrounded and she's just kind of being pushed to the side, by crowds of people. as soon as cell phones really changed the game, or I should say smartphones with cameras, because the autograph is kind of a thing of the past. It's really, I mean, people still get autographed footballs for charity events and things, and he signs, you know, pictures and cards and different things. But the selfie is a big deal. And because people, right. And it really took off when social media became a thing. So when Instagram and Facebook and others, where you could post and you could, you know, show it to everybody, is when that took off. And so, you know, there were times that we would get annoyed. And the probably the most annoyed that we ever were, and it really wasn't that bad, is whenever he would go to the Army, Navy, or a Super Bowl, somehow they knew when he was landing. And so they would be waiting. They'd be waiting right outside of security. And, you know, if it's a 13-year-old boy and he's got his jersey, totally get it. It's fine. But the professionals show up. And so the professionals have dozens of cards and pictures, and they just they ask you to sign as many as you'll sign. They'll let you sign. I mean, I'm not kidding. They'll have 50 cards.
Yeah.
And if you sign 10, great. They go flip them on eBay or do whatever they want with them. And so that's the only time when we had our entire family at the Army Navy game in 2021, it was kind of like, okay, guys, we've got to move. Like, we've got a car waiting for us. We've got to move, and, you know, he'll sign a few things, but he's extremely reluctant, to not, you know, to tell people no.
Got it. We're visiting with Jeff Staubach, Mark Whitelf, Navy SEAL. Back for the back half of Real Matters after the news. Hang on, everyone. Jake, Real Matters back with you, having an engaging conversation. Triangulation. How's that for a military term, Mark? We're triangulating.
Well, it'll work.
Yeah. Mark, Father's Day wasn't too long ago, both Mark and Jeff, and we've been talking about Roger Staubach. And I want to say to you, Mark, I've mentioned to you that my son Seth was in the Navy from 2003 to 2011. And he was in the USS Ohio as a nuclear technician there, stationed in Bremerton, Washington. And I was always very proud of him for doing that for the 8 years. And the Navy took good care of him, by the way. I'd like you to share with us a bit about your son, Josh, as comfortable, and kind of let us know, you know, you've got some serious skin in the game for our country's security, Mark. So feel free to talk about that as you can.
Well, I'm privileged to any service that I've got to contribute to our country. I'm just so proud of our country. I love it so dearly. I love our Constitution, who I still swear an oath to that Constitution. And it's such a beautiful document. It's ageless. It's timeless. It's as applicable today as it was when it was first penned. And, you know, with that, you know, I do have a son who's serving in the Middle East. His family was evacuated out of the Middle East. They were living in Bahrain. His base was bombed in Bahrain by drones and missiles. And he's presently in another country working against the belligerents in the area. Obviously, that's the Iranians and the proxies. And so he's been involved with that very heavily since February in combat operations. We're very proud of what he's doing. He's been awarded a very senior medal as well for his contributions to the effort. And so we're real proud of him. And we're grateful to the state of Oregon, because his family were evacuated out through Bahrain into Saudi Arabia. And eventually they ended up, of all places, in Eugene, Oregon.
Yep.
And so they're being housed there in Oregon until such time his family can be reunited again.
Well, they should be in our prayers, and we can all do
Thank
that.
Thank you.
100%. We are so blessed, all of us, going back. And, you know, you want to talk about the Cowboys, which I do. Tom Landry, Coach Landry himself, was a fighter pilot, you know, and I believe his plane, he and his co-pilot, they crash landed, I believe, in England during World War II. You guys familiar with that at all? Did you guys know that?
I knew he served. I didn't know where he served, though.
Yeah. And So, you know, you start with that, but we're looking now, training camps kicking in, Oxnard, California, I believe on July 29th, which interestingly enough is Dak Prescott's 33rd birthday, right on training camp day coming up. But just for kicks, 66 years ago, that Dallas Cowboys team was in its infancy, and their first training camp was actually up here in Oregon, speaking of Oregon, Mark, in Forest Grove, Oregon, at what is now Pacific University. And they started their first camp there, and they were there for about, they say, between 10 days to 2 weeks. And Tom Landry liked Oregon. He was part of the New York Giants before he came to Dallas. And the old Giant teams of 54, 55, and 58 actually practiced here in Salem at Willamette University. And they did their scrimmaging at McCulloch Stadium. All of that is still there. And you can imagine that Giants team was amazing because Vince Lombardi was co-coaching with Tom Landry at that time. You had Frank Gifford and Y.A. Tittle and Kyle Rote, part of that whole deal. The Cowboys moved their training camp to Wisconsin because it just got too wet and they needed to have a little more heat. But just to give you an idea of humble beginnings, when the Cowboys were practicing here in Oregon, you know, they had about like 20 or 30 onlookers, like, who are these guys and what's this all about? And so Tech Schramm was paying $11.50 per player as kind of a rent to the athletic director of Pacific to cover the expenses back then, to give you an idea of how things worked back then. On the field at that time in 1960, there are two Ring of Honor people, or three Ring of Honor Cowboys that started there. And one of them, of course, Coach Tom Landry. And then you had Don Perkins, running back, and who can forget Dandy Don Meredith, all had their beginnings there. After the Cowboys went to Wisconsin to finish up their summer training, the last, and this is my favorite part, you guys, their last preseason game of their first season was held in Pendleton, Oregon. And speaking of Cowboys, there is no bigger town than Pendleton, Oregon, because they have the Pendleton Roundup. The Cowboys' last preseason game of their first season was in a rodeo facility, and the rodeo had just finished the day before the Cowboys played their exhibition game against the Rams. Check it out, and you can pass this on to Dak. Pass this on to Dak, and I kid you not, the players changed their clothes in the various cattle stalls that were in the facility. So, that
a little different now.
Oh my gosh. A far the Rams, if I may use the term, beat the crap out of the Cowboys 44-14. And I think the Rams were ticked off that they had to play up there in Pendleton. Who knows what that was like, but Jeff, a far cry from today, right? What's it look like today? $13 billion Cowboy price tag right now. What are you thinking with Dak going to hit 33? Jeff, a lot of changes had to happen in the defense. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I wish I knew.
Oh, that's okay. I'll talk with you.
I think Dak is an absolutely phenomenal quarterback. Had a great year last year.
He did.
But they just couldn't stop anybody. And so they've added a little bit with the draft, and you know the Joneses are dedicated to winning. They want to win more than anybody. You know, any fan wants to win. I'm hoping that they can make a run in the playoffs this year if the defense can step up a little bit. But the league's tough. I mean, you know, their division's tough. The Niners are tough. I mean, it is a battle to get through the NFC, just the regular season schedule, much less the playoffs.
Well, it is. And, you know, you look at that first year the Cowboys played, they were 0-11 with one tie to the New York Giants. So maybe, you know, Landry had just a little bit left in him to at least kind of say, hey, old team, you didn't beat me twice. I tied you once. Dallas, of course, last year, the NFC East, to you, Jeff, a bit, Mark as well, depending on how much you guys follow it, was not the strongest division.
Nope.
The Eagles you know, were champions 2 years before, and they didn't do well. They had problems over there. And Micah Parsons heads over to Green Bay, and that's, of course, where Dallas tied 40-40, I believe. New defensive coordinator, speaking of Philly, Christian Parker, yep. I believe, the youngest defensive coordinator in Dallas history with his strengths in the secondary, coaching. Jeff, what do you think? How will that add to the team? Thoughts on that, if you have any?
No, we're excited. I mean, I'm excited to have him. I don't know if it was all the D coordinator's fault last year, but players seem to love him. The fans are excited about him. And every year we're hopeful. I mean, if you ask my dad, they're going to win the Super Bowl every year, you know, at the beginning of the year. So if you ever want to win a bet against him, just bet the over under on Cowboy wins, because he's going to take the over every single time.
we've got just about 30 seconds. Any predictions? Because we'll continue this going on the other side. What do you think, Jeff? Are you going to sign with your?
I'm going to say 11-6.
You're going to say 11-6, and yep. Because the defense is better. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think the defense is better and the offense is very extremely strong, unstoppable.
They averaged 28, I believe, on the road. Dallas did, or 27 on the road, and roughly just under, I believe, 29. At home, mm-hmm. but the defense gave up 30 on average. And yep.
that's the problem.
That's the problem right there. Jeff Staubach, Mark Waddell, final segment. One of the finest programs I've ever done. Jake, Real Matters. Hang on. We're going to keep going. Back. Final segment, Real Matters, July. Incredible time to be in Oregon in July. We have the best weather right now. We got it all. It's a beautiful place. Got issues, but not today. With me, Mark Waddell. Retired out of the Navy, 25 plus years of service, amazing service. Grateful to you, Mark, and everyone. I cannot emphasize that enough in our military. And if we had another show, we could just deal with that all the way. And to you, Jeff Staubach, it's just a thrill to talk to the son of Roger Staubach. And so let's go ahead and go back, because everybody, you talk about a football life, that particular show showed the Hail Mary and coined a phrase, didn't it, Jeff? The Hail Mary phrase.
That's right.
It's like the equivalent of batter up in baseball. I mean, that's the way I look at it. Why don't you talk about your get together, both of you, as you can, and what it means, what that play was. It was huge. I saw it. I was in the eighth grade. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, you know, it was actually on my first birthday.
there we go.
December 28th, 1975. I joke with people that, you know, my dad missed my first birthday.
For good reason.
He was out of town. But, you know, it's amazing that it put that term in the vernacular of the United States. They asked him after the game, you know, what did you do? And he said, I closed my eyes and said, Hail Mary. And the next day, AP ran an article that says Hail Mary pass wins game. And so now it's everything, right? I mean, there's a great movie called Project Hail Mary about saving the world, and that they need a Hail Mary to save the world. And it wasn't a term until then. And so whenever we see it or hear it in the public, and it could be a politician that says, you know, going to need a Hail Mary, or, you know, a sports anywhere. We always, you know, remind my dad that what he said just off the cuff in 1975, changed the English language.
It did. You think it brought any more people to the Catholic faith, Jeff, with that kind of a witness?
I would hope so, but I don't know.
Mark, we were talking between the break. You're at the party with the Hail Mary commemorative party. You had a lot of fun. Why don't you share some of the conversation if you can, or the aura? Go for it.
Absolutely. You know, my wife Lauren and I are ardent fans of the Cowboys, and I don't want to get sacrilegious as far as where Lauren holds Roger in high esteem compared to, you know, some deities, but we had a lot of fun there. And we were at the club. It was a private event, and it was just amazing to be there, because, you know, Roger and Drew Pearson, who was the receiver of the Hail Mary pass. Too Tall Jones was there, and a whole host and cast of characters. And I just felt so honored to be there. My wife, Lauren, got the commemorative 50th anniversary Hail Mary ball. And I'm sure if there's some billionaire who would like to buy it from her, they would be sorely disappointed because they would not get it at any price. So it was just a lot of fun to see the original game, hear Roger and Drew, being like the sports commentators, like it was yesterday. You could see it in their eyes. You know, their bodies are older,
sure,
but their minds were completely intact, and they knew every second and every detail of what happened that day 50 years ago. Amazing.
Well, Roger.
I would throw out that in the military, the Hail Mary was used all the time. Like, I remember calling in close air support of some fast mover aircraft, and they said, we're going to be danger close. And I remember replying, put a Hail Mary in there, make it work. And I've seen guys throw hand grenades and shoot them out of grenade launchers and say, I just Hail Mary'd it in there and it worked. So it's still going strong.
Oh, it's not going anywhere. And so Jeff, I've had this question, honestly, burning in my heart from, I want to jump ahead just for a moment to Super Bowl 13. Dallas is playing those pesky Steelers in the Orange Bowl, and it's your dad's last Super Bowl. And I got it. It was also featured on Football Life, and I saw this game as well. That pass on third and 10 to Jackie Smith in the end zone. Dallas is down 21-14. Jackie Smith catches that pass. It's six. And I believe Raphael Sepsian is going to kick a point after. It's a 21-21 game. First question to you on this, if you can answer it, did Jackie Smith ever get over missing that pass? It was so right there in his hands. Do you know, I mean, how's the guy doing? Do you have any idea?
You know, I don't. I mean, I think hopefully he did, because, you know, the public didn't, but if you talk to Dad about it, you know, he tells a different story, that it wasn't that one play. You know, that wasn't the fourth quarter and the last play of the game, and you know, he'll tell you it wasn't his fault. It was thrown behind him. It was actually the wrong play call, he thought, at that time. It was supposed to be a goal line play, and it wasn't. But you know, the Cowboy fans, I don't think we'll ever get over it.
I'm glad that Jackie Smith got into the Hall of Fame, and you know, it's again, at the end of the day, right? I mean, I say it's just a game, but it's massive entertainment brain candy for so many of us that we look to sports as a way to live out whatever you want to do. But, oh, that hurt. I think with the way Tony Dorsett was running in the first quarter. Yeah. I mean, we could speculate that all day long. I want to go to a different number to you, Jeff. We talk about the 23 come from behinds that your dad did. And the last come from behind win was, you know, amazingly against the, I'm going to say, Washington Redskins in 1979. And, you know, the Cowboys come down from a pretty good deficit. And Tony Thrill Hill gets the last touchdown of the regular season from your dad. Jeff, did you ever get people come up to you and say, man, did your dad ruin a lot of our Sunday dinners, from outside of the, you know, outside of the Dallas, going, oh, we were almost going to go home. And then all of a sudden he goes, wait, Staubach just got another touchdown. And how many people ever come up to you and jest and just go, God, you ruined a lot of Sundays for us. You ever have that happen?
Yes. Yeah, no, you know, not necessarily in Dallas, but in other places, people would, you know, what's unique about Dad is that he always had the utmost respect from the opponents. And you can see that in the Football Life with some of the opponents being interviewed. He definitely ruined the Vikings fans for sure.
Oh yeah.
They'll never forget it. And I've heard that from dozens of Viking fans that, you know, I'll tell you a real quick story. I was in high school one time, and I was driving home, and I got pulled over. And I was speeding in a residential neighborhood, and the police officer came up to the window, and I give him my ID. And fortunately, my middle name is Roger, so when they see my ID, they always put two and two together. And he said,
he goes, I'm going to give you a warning. I'm going to let you go. And he said, I'm really doing you a favor here because I'm a huge Vikings fan.
Oh my gosh. He really did, didn't he? Wow. Jeff, I want to throw another number at you. It's the number 20. And that is the amount of, and it was also featured on A Football Life, the amount of concussions your dad had in his 10-year career with Dallas. Nobody really talked about concussions a lot.
Nope.
It was all about knees, backs, elbows. The only other big concussion story would have been back in the 50s when Frank Gifford got hammered by Chuck Bednarik back against the Eagles, and he was out for a year. Good move for your dad to move on, right?
Yeah, he was at his absolute prime when he retired. He was only 38, but he didn't come into the league until he was 27 because of his naval service. And there was a doctor that he saw that just said, "Hey, you're fine, you're good, but it could change." And so that's really what got him out of the game. And the hits were different then. The treatments were different. When Troy Aikman had his first concussion, he had an MRI, a CAT scan. I mean, he went through all this stuff. And when my dad had his first bad one with the Cowboys, he gets in the car and his pupils are dilated. And my mom's a nurse. And she's like, what did they do? And they just kind of held up two fingers and, okay, you're fine. You can go home. And so she was nervous, just, watching him and keeping an eye on him. Cause you never know how things could go, but it's a much different game now. I think it's for the better. The safety of these guys is important. You don't want to change the game too dramatically, but I think it's for the better. And I think you're seeing it with longevity. I mean, whether it's Derrick Henry that's playing at a older age, or Tom Brady playing into his 40s, or Aaron Rodgers, Troy Aikman couldn't do that. I mean, he was hit and took so many shots that would have been illegal or never would have happened if it were today's rules. And so I think they're doing the right thing, but yeah, the concussions were a lot.
They were. And your folks are, I believe your dad's around 84, and
that's right.
We're glad. We want to see him get way beyond, because there's been some sad CTE stories that have emerged over the past, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. And so forth. Guys, we are at the end of a time I've been looking forward to very much. Mark Waddell, thank you so much for orchestrating this. And Jeff Staubach, thank you so much. And everybody else, go Cowboys, man.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Jake.
Hey, guys, right. We are done. Jeff?